everyone.
It's been a, well, for me, it's been a few weeks.
Yes. That's so true. And we just realized that there's a disco ball in here.
There's a disco ball. And I think it's got batteries so we can spin if we want it to. This is kind of freaking cool.
Yes.
Disco ball. How exciting.
So how are you this evening?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I'm good. You are looking as smiteful as ever.
Am I?
Yes.
It's been quite a day.
Yes. I love Sundays with you. I really do, because it turns into like impromptu mistress and me time.
Yeah, totally.
Because we have like so many things going on.
Yeah.
So it's fun. It's always a lot of fun.
It is. It's fun, you know, and we're fortunate to get to hang around some really, really cool people in our community. And that was our whole day, our whole frickin' day from early in the morning until, and now.
Yes.
It's been a kinky day.
Yes.
Without any kinky play.
Yeah, that's true. But you touched me a lot and that was nice.
You were straddling my knee. What was I supposed to do?
I don't know. You could have just ignored me. I mean,
your option would have been pushed away or touched. Those are your options.
Okay. Well, yay.
Really, either way, you get touched. You know, that's, whether it's push away, go away, you little whore.
You can't prove it.
That you're a little whore?
Yeah.
Fuck her. Whatever. I'm not going to get into this again. You're so sweet and innocent. Fuck you. No, you're not. It's a lie. Lies.
But every single time that someone sees me, they're like, oh, she's so cute.
Oh, they're so fucking duped. If only they knew. If only they knew the fantasies that you've written. I could publish them. Ha 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 ha. And she's turned red because she knows the shit that she's written to me.
I'm trying to hide behind the microphone and it's not working.
Oh, I can still see you.
Well, tonight's topic is consent.
It is consent. I consent to this topic. I do. You know, I think a lot of people have strong opinions about consent. And mostly it's, you know, in the affirmative that yes, consent is good.
Yes.
But at the same time, I think that it's still misunderstood as to what consent means. And a lot of times I think people believe that in a play situation, only the bottom gives consent. But really, this is a bilateral consensual process, and that's just one of those interesting things. We have several points. We have an outline, which, by the way, I wrote the fucking outline.
I didn't even ask her if she could do that. She just like out of nowhere, she like emailed me, and I'm like, what? Oh my god, you just blew my mind.
Yeah, so I wrote the outline, and of course, you know, I like words. I like what words mean. I like the dictionary. I love a thesaurus. Let me tell you. So real quickly, just to talk about consent, in the dictionary, it's specifically defined as to give assent or approval, agree. The archaic definition is to be in concord in opinion or sentiment, which, you know, they both apply in the kink world. Away from kink, though, we can talk about sexual consent. And that can be very vanilla. And we're talking about, you know, you're consenting to sex with somebody as opposed to, I don't know, being raped.
Yeah.
Which about that? Is not pleasant when it's something that you have not consented to. You know, and both, everybody has a right to say no about anything. And I think everybody can agree on that. But the funny thing is, it's really interesting how often it gets blurred. And I know for a fact that there are rapists out there that do not believe at all that they are rapists. They don't believe it. They believe on some level they received, you know, an affirmation of consent.
Yes.
The look in their eyes, they were dressed provocatively, they came to my apartment, you know, whatever it is, all of these things somehow create checklists for consent when the words no obviously don't counter that. And there are a lot of people that walk around today that have been on both sides of that equation, have been raped or are a rapist, and don't talk about it. Don't talk about how, you know, I said no. and he did it anyway. You know, well, she said no, but she didn't really mean it. She was having a good time. You know, it's tough. I have been in that situation, not being a rapist. I think about that.
Well, there was the one time that you raped my vagina, but that's because I
wanted it.
And
you even afterwards thanked me.
Yes. So, this is true.
And you're still here. So, you know, I really damaged you. But it's one of those things where I think that consent in that aspect, although it's not kink specific, it has to be addressed. Because it's on every possible level, it's damaging to both parties. Because the more often somebody rapes in a date rape kind of situation, the less often they will be aware that they're doing it. It gets to a point that that's just sex. And I knew someone back in the day. And that was it. I mean, he would literally just hound on somebody until they had sex with him. That was just his MO. And that's the only way he ever had sex. Which is funny because he didn't have to do that. He was a good-looking guy, nice guy. He didn't have to do that. But I think it's just one of those things that's what he learned and that's what worked for him. And so that's what stuck. And that's, it's really sad that we'd be in that situation. So getting heavy. So that, do you have any input on sexual consent?
No, I don't have anything different than from what you said. You pretty much
hit the nail on the head.
Because you can't, what variation is there to that? You know, it's no fucking means no. that's about it.
Yeah, well, in traditional, like, regular sex, even in BDSM sex, whatever, but I mean, as long as it's not whatever's negotiated, but even just sex, you're right, no means no. And it's definitely a point where, you know, you check in. Did you really mean no? I mean, that's like a yellow. They have just called out a yellow on you if they say no, and if they say no a lot and push you away, that's big fucking red or mercy. That's what that is. So that's just my
I say no to you a lot, but I'm like,
that's in kinky play though. That's in BDSM, and that's why no is not a safe word in the BDSM world, because some people just say no because that's just what they, you know, like, you want to say no because you're like, no, don't do that, and even though, you know, it's okay, I kind of like it.
And then it's really funny because then I start laughing and then she starts laughing. It's just we have a ball.
It's and there are people that actually enjoy watching us, which is like, we're just fucking around here, people. Just go with that. All right, so let's get into the meat and potatoes of this, which is consent and BDSM, which is why we're here. We're kinky fuckers, so that's why we're here. And one of the big phrases that, you know, we heard it today at a munch, and I know that like Say9 has blogged specifically about it, is informed consent, ethical BDSM play. And, you know, it's an informed consent is a, I recall it from my past working with a pharmaceutical company where they have a very, you know, medical, in the medical world, there's a very large informed consent document, you know, especially before clinical trials, where, you know, you need, there's a shit ton of information that you need to go through in order to get the information to be consented to. And I think that is one of the things that sometimes lacks in play. There's a lot of assumed consent.
Yeah.
Where I'm gonna flog you. I'm gonna set you on fire. I'm gonna do this. And I'm just as guilty of this as anybody else, where I don't go into the details of this means this. These are the potential outcomes. If you've never done this, you know, I mean, this could happen, this could happen. Are you acceptable with these potential outcomes? That's the informed consent that gets, you know, and some things, you know, I definitely, you know, discuss these kinds of things, but for some, I've been remiss in it myself. So it's an area that I need to personally work on.
Yeah,
but it's
not you. No,
that was great.
You can't do that to me.
I wasn't, you know, I wasn't entrapping you.
Yes, you were.
Okay, go on.
I don't even know where I was going to go with that. And I'm pretty sure
you just agreed that I need to work on that.
No. I'm pretty sure I was going to go somewhere meaningful with that. I'm pretty sure I had something like really awesome to say.
Yeah.
Like some sort of kind of insight on that. Actually, yes, I do.
All right. Go be insightful.
I think from a bottom's perspective, sometimes you want to just agree. You just want to consent.
Yeah, well, especially if you've got sub frenzy.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's no way I'm going to say no. You're just because you're going to play with me. You're going to touch me. You're going to do stuff to me. We're going to play together. It's going to be great. But do I really know what I'm getting into? And at that point, do I really even care? If I'm in frenzy, that is.
Right.
I don't.
No. And as we've discussed in the past about being in frenzy, not necessarily being in the right mental state in order to be able to make these decisions. Consent isn't always mean the same when you're in that kind of compromised mental state. And the information might not necessarily mean the same thing either. So,
right. And it also, I mean, to put it in vanilla perspective, being with someone who's intoxicated, their consent is not that. Mm-hmm. No because mm-hmm. they would not otherwise, if they would not otherwise say yes,
right,
that doesn't mean much.
Yeah.
So it's kind of the same thing. If I don't know what I'm getting into, if I'm going to play with someone, how does, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm losing my words. I'm sorry.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say yeah.
Yeah.
And that's, use good judgment when you're talking about informed consent. I mean, yeah, if you want to walk around with a sheet of paper and you're going to do, in casual play specifically, and you're going to casually play with somebody and they want you to flog them or they want you to beat them up or slap them or do humiliation or cane them, fire play, whatever it is. Sure. Oh, fire play. Here's the information on fire play. You can read that and initial each line and then sign at the bottom of the date. And,
and go and have this notarized.
You could do that for, informed consent. But I think that would really be scary.
Yeah.
I would assume from a bottom's perspective, if somebody pulled out a fucking piece of paper with all these potential risks, I'd be like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
What the fuck? Number one, wow, you're really anal. Number two, what the fuck? But having that information, having that conversation, especially with somebody you've never played with before, you don't already know their skill set, their experience level. I think that's when the informed comes in for both sides. And that's, we've already talked about asking about medical conditions when it's about, negotiating a scene, that kind of thing. But it's not just about what the top asks the bottom. It's about what the bottom should ask the top, what kind of experience do you have in this? And what are the potential side effects? And will I be marked? I can't be marked in these areas, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And I think that I know for a fact that there isn't a single top that I know that would be offended by those questions. They would in fact be like, it's respectful. I respect you now as a human being and as a bottom, that you would take your safety, your security in your hands and ask these questions of me. Now, don't be wrong. There are those dominants out there that are like, you dare to question me? but I'm generally not hanging out with those people. So, I think that it's in being comfortable. And I get that people that are naturally submissive, not specifically bottoms, people that are naturally submissive, I get that is really hard for them to do. It's really hard for them to stand up for themselves to anybody. It's even harder when it's a dominant. It's even harder when it's a dominant that they respect and they like. It's even harder when it's a dominant that they serve. I understand that. It doesn't mean you shouldn't do it.
So I remember the first time, before you and I played, and I was so nervous because, she's, really awesome and, really, really awesome. And I was really scared, but I didn't want to tell her that I was scared. And I was really nervous, but I didn't want to tell her that I was nervous. And I had never played in public. Never, ever, ever, right? And I was so scared, but I And I'm trying to remember like what I asked you. I mean, they were really like simple questions and it was all via email or text. And it was something like along the lines of, well, if this happens, what will you do?
No. The funny thing is they were never use.
What was it?
What if one wanted to do this with you? What would they have to do if they wanted to do that?
Yes, that's what I did.
Well, one would have to do this. And how would one do that? Well, one would. And that was exactly how she approached the entire thing. Even when it came to potentially being my submissive. What would one have to do if they wanted to be your submissive? Well, one would have to have a conversation with me. What would that conversation entail? I mean, it was really, really interesting to see how, and she's hiding behind the microphone again. It's funny. It was really interesting to see. I knew what one we were talking about. I mean, she wasn't like, you know, brokering for somebody else.
But in my defense, one was very nervous.
one was very nervous. No, and that was totally fine. During that exchange, I knew your level of experience. I knew your concerns. And so when you said, you know, what if something happened? What if it was too much? What if I couldn't handle whatever? And, you know, and I gave you responses. Well, you know, I'm not going to go beyond your limits. I mean, I will have safe words. Always play lighter the first time, always, in order to establish, you know, where you are and how you're feeling, check in with you, et cetera, those kinds of things. And I found it really interesting because you were so wanting, you know, that release, which the first two times we played, it didn't happen. Mm-mm. And there were all these questions in your head about, oh, I didn't have this release. Oh my God, what's wrong with me and her and the this?
Well, yeah, no, because I was totally expecting, like, I so wanted that, but
which you see after people play where you're like, look at, they're so happy, or they're crying and still so happy.
Yes. Well, and I didn't get that, what I thought I was going to get, that wasn't the first thing that I got. I got what I needed, not what I wanted, is what it was. So I wanted, what? Can I finish?
I'm not stopping you.
Okay, because you're laughing at me. Okay, so I wanted release. I didn't get release, but I needed to feel affection. Mm. And that's what that was. Okay. So,
right. Well, and it was you were asking the right questions before you consented, which is exactly what you should do. I mean, exactly what you should do, you know, so you can get that information. And at that point, we were just talking about casual play.
Right.
It was your first real casual play, your first public play, you know. I mean, you did the casual play with the. But that doesn't count because, you know. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so it was one of those, okay, so you asked the questions, you felt, you know, informed, you felt comfortable consenting. And for me, even during the play, it was a kind of constantly checking in. How's it going? How are you feeling? Mm-hmm. You know, how's that? Although you can't do that continually, because if you keep doing that, then they'll never go into subspace and they're like, fucking shut up, quit talking to me and beat me, woman. You know, it doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that.
Unfortunately, no. Yeah.
You know, and there's consent in play, which obviously we could talk about implements, and you could talk about the physical, and you can even talk about playing with humiliation and playing with other things, even in casual play of service, and what are you consenting to? Those are all things that need to have informed consent. But there's also like an overarching sense of consent in DS or MS relationships, where when you decide to go into a relationship with someone, you know, what are you consenting to on both sides? What are both parties willing to consent to? What are they not willing to consent to? And some people, you know, just flat out, let's say it's the married man who's very submissive and the wife is not dominant or doesn't want to do that, but she's allowing him to engage in some sort of a DS relationship with somebody else. Generally, that would be a non-sexual. So then you would have to have that negotiation to not have the sexual be a component of their DS relationship, you know, even though there'd be, you know, power exchange and all of that that's going on between the two of them. DS, by the way, standing for dominance and submission, MS standing for master and slave. Just, you know, I know we talked about the alphabet. I don't know if we got to those. We have a lot in the alphabet. Beating up the microphone?
Yes.
Does it look too much like a cock?
Ew, oh my God.
Are you talking into a cock?
No.
It's like a bedazzled cock, though, because it's like silver with the black foam tip.
It's not
like
the same.
This is like a big black cock.
Because exactly, now I'm thinking it's a big black cock.
It is. Just put a little dot in the middle. This is like the, it's obviously circumcised because it's got the head.
Now I can't yet.
It's fabulous.
No, it's not.
So that, believe it or not, she's consented to that.
Yes.
In the parameters.
Not penis. I have not consented to penis. That's not what she's talking about.
No, she's consented to humiliation. In the confines of our relationship, we specifically do address humiliation as one of her green lights. She really does enjoy it, even though now she's looking at her microphone and thinking of a big black cock.
Oh my God, I wasn't even thinking about that anymore.
I know you weren't.
No, I wasn't.
That's why I said it.
Oh my God.
But
now we need liquid latex to make it pink and bedazzle it, and then I'd be okay with it. But not really, because it'd be close to my mouth and I'd be like, it's gonna come into my mouth.
I can't come. It's electronic. It has no fluid.
But I'm saying come as in like it's heading towards my mouth.
Oh, directional, not C-U-M. Okay, all right, yes. Cool. There. Because I can't see it. I have to hear it. Anyway. In specifically areas like humiliation, I mean, you really do need to know your partner very, very well to know what areas you can go to and what areas you can't go to. And it's, you know, it takes a process. It's not something you jump off on where the first time you meet somebody, you're like, yes, I'm going to humiliate you for being a, you know, fucking whatever. You know, some people like racial humiliation. Some people like, you know, whatever. I don't know. She likes to be called a whore, let's be honest. Because nobody calls her a whore, because everything, she's all fucking sweet and innocent and like Mary Poppins and shit. She's a whore.
You said I was Mary Poppins.
Ooh, whore. Yeah, I just joked about that. It was not true. You're a whore, Mary Poppins.
Oh.
That's okay. The truth. So, but, you know, but there is information that is handed off between she and I before we've ever engaged in any sort of humiliation play or anything like that, so that both parties are aware, you know, okay, this is what you're okay with, this is what I'm okay with, this is how we can go. And there, we do actually have some specific, even though we have an ongoing DS relationship, we do have some specific scenes that we do that have extreme humiliation involved in them. That is more rare than common, and it is for the duration of the scene that the extreme humiliation occurs, because we go back to being kind of our baseline, where it's just kind of, you know, trivial joking humiliation, because it's degradation. It's true, absolute degradation at that point, and it's pretty deep and hardcore. So that's for a scene, and even before, when we did that, there was continued extensive negotiations and the consent, so that both parties understood what was happening. You know, I mean, I don't ever, when I go through a negotiation with a person with whom I'm in a DS relationship with, I don't talk about, okay, so I'm going to start with this, and then I'm going to move on to this, and I'm going to move on to this and this. Are you good with that?
I mean, for fuck's sake, she doesn't even believe in outlines. You really think that she's going to outline a fucking scene for me?
Well, no, but for, let me give you an example. When I do just play partners, Subgirl, for example.
Yes.
You know, it's like,
hey,
okay,
Subgirl.
Yeah. How do you, you know, I'm gonna, do you feel about canes? Do you feel about paddles? Do you feel about hands? Do you feel about fists? What do you feel about this? You know, so I know specifically, I don't like this. I do like this. I don't like that. And because she's not submitting to me, you know, it's just a bottom and a top situation. You know, whatever. Yeah, I'll give you what you want. You know, I like to do it. You like to receive it. It works out for both parties. And I'm not demanding, you know, but I don't sit here and go, okay, so first we're going to start with this. and then we're going to move on to this. And then if you really are feeling up to it, we're going to do this. Mm-hmm. No, it's just, you know, but they have a little bit when they're just bottoming for a scene, they have a little bit more flexibility in knowing what's happening. Whereas you, because there's an overarching sense of consent, mm-hmm. You don't. However, when we did the degradation, there was a whole day of a lot of back and forth. In fact, it was longer than a day. It was almost 2 days.
Yeah.
A lot of back and forth so that we both understood what's going on. And I gave you a lot of really strong warnings.
Yeah,
so
you
understood what you were getting into. You might not like this. This might be too far. Yeah. You know, let's make sure that if in the middle of it that you're comfortable, if you want to stop, that can, you know, it's because when you're getting into really heavier play and, you know, I'm sorry, but degradation is really heavy play and the scars that it can leave you with lasts so much longer than the scars from other kinds of edge play, you know, because they're mental and they're emotional and they can and especially if you hit some fucking time bombs and some mental and emotional issues, Jesus God.
So it took me a little bit to bounce back from that.
It did.
But not because it hit those buttons, but it just was that intense.
It was that intense.
Yeah.
It was that intense.
I mean, it was fucking awesome, but it was that intense.
Right. Right.
For those of you listening, our number is 1-800-893-9562. That's 800-893-9562.
So if you want to call in because you have an opinion on consent, yeah, go rock it. So in that, you know, overarching, you have things that are automatically pre-negotiated when you have a relationship. And that's makes the relationship a little bit easier to kind of deal with. Mm-hmm. But that being said, I think that you have to continually work on the consent, you know, unless I'm going to do something unusual that I've never done before, I don't generally say, you know, okay, tonight I'm going to use this on you. You know, is that okay? You know, unless I have a thing, how do you feel today? How do you feel about fire play? How do you feel about, you know, whatever?
Well, there was that one time that you pulled out the knife and, oh my God, it was so awesome. She pulled out the knife and I was already kind of like, I was getting into some kind of daze. Oh man, that night was awesome. Mm-hmm. And she pulled out the knife and she showed it to me and she asked me if I trusted her. And I said, yes. And then it was awesome. But that hadn't, I don't even think we'd ever discussed, had we even discussed that? No, I don't think so. Had we?
Yeah, that's, well, we had briefly discussed it as being something that you would consider it. It was not a red. It was definitely not on the no-go list. It was not on the hard green. You were curious about it.
Yes.
But you were unsure.
And that's not something that you sprung on me like super early on, you know? That was something that, you know, it's strange because I feel like a lot of times, every single time, like it gets deeper and deeper. Our play, it like morphs. And I think that happens because we get to know each other a lot better. Mm-hmm. I feel almost every single day I discover new things about you and I show you new things about me.
Absolutely.
So
you know what? That's what I like to call a relationship.
Aw, shucks. Aw.
Which, by the way, is kind of big fucking news that I use the R word.
Yes. Oh my God. You guys don't even know. I don't even really want to show like how excited that made me.
She's hiding behind the mic again.
Trying to hide behind the mic. It was like, I have like the hugest smile on my face. Anyways. Anyway, that's the end of me looking into the camera, so to speak, and talking to the audience and not you. Sorry.
Wow, we have our own reality show, a la The Office. it's definitely, our play has deepened, I think that is the right word. As we as people grow, our play grows, and I think that means that the subject of consent doesn't really ever go away. It's just not necessarily spoken of like quote unquote consent when you're within the confines of a relationship. But, you know, at the same time, you really still are continually consenting to something, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. And I always do still feel comfortable, speaking up, saying if something just, you know, didn't jive.
Yeah.
If something made me uncomfortable. And a lot of times it's not really the type of play. It's, you know, it'll be some sort, something external. You know, it'll be something very trivial, like, I don't know, like the spanking horse. Like, I'm just not a fan of that. Really not a fan of not looking at you or being closer to you physically. But yeah, I'm not, it's, you know, the consent doesn't, it's not like the consent conversation ended the moment that we decided to draw up a contract.
No.
That didn't happen.
No.
You know,
it's ongoing.
Yes. And I think that it, even through like daily journaling, mm-hmm. I think that's what reinforces it even more, because if, say for instance, I journal about something and it, you know, kind of puts up a red flag for you, whatever the hell it was, then it, you know, that maybe tells you, you know, where I'm at, where my head is at. Am I okay with something right now? Am I not okay with it? Like, for instance, right now, kind of tough part of my life. I probably wouldn't, you know, there's things that I probably, I need to put aside for right now, you know, mm-hmm. like the more intense things I can't really do right now, because people, life happens. I mean, we're kinky people, but shit happens.
That's the truth.
So I guess that's for me, at least that's the way I see our relationship and the consent, element.
Right.
So.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, it's never, I don't think it's ever going to go away, you know, because as people grow and as we develop, we need to assess, consent, you know, to each other, to ourselves, for whatever it is. And that's what's so awesome, you know, because I don't want to be stuck.
No.
Like, yeah, same thing. Well,
and I think for a submissive, it would be worrisome if their dominant kind of just, you know, took their consent for granted. Like, I just, you know, dismissed any notion of that ever changing. You know, who's to say that, you know, I'm okay with something right now, but maybe like a few months from now, I won't be okay. Well, then, at this moment, there appears to be a caller. Hello, caller.
Hello, how are you?
I know that caller.
Who is it? I want to know
this. You know this caller?
I know that caller. He's a love dispenser.
Oh, the love dispenser.
Well, hello, Mr. Love.
Hello, how are you?
Good. What you got for us?
Well, I'm just wondering the whole subject of consent. If it's always seemed to me that consent in a 24/7 relationship seems to put more power in the sub's corner than should be there. And I'm trying to get your feedback on that.
I think that consent is often perceived as a sub power. Truthfully, they can grant it, they can take it away. And it has everything to do with the dynamic of the relationship, in my opinion. And the dominant should absolutely have equal power. I think consent is one of those things where there really isn't a power dynamic, where it does need to be upon equal footing. And so, you know, the reason that it is perceived to be that the submissive would have the power and the consent, because it's more often than not that the dominant is the one that presents the idea. The dominant is one that presents whatever this new thing that would happen. And by presenting the idea, they automatically are consenting to it. I'm bringing you this. Hey, love dispenser, I would like to tie you up and play with my knife on your body. You know, so I've automatically consented to saying that. And then you can be like, ooh, you could tie me up. I'm scared about this knife thing. You know, and that's where the negotiation stops. Now, if it happened to be a situation where a submissive came to a dominant and said, Mistress, Master, Goddess, Empress, whatever, you know, I would respectfully love it if at some point you would tie me up and use your knife on me. You know, at that point, the submissive has automatically granted their consent by beginning the conversation. And then as the discussion goes on, both parties put their input in for how the consent happens, and that's when the negotiation concerns, because everybody consents a little bit on this, a little bit on that, yes, no, maybe so. That's my opinion.
Do you think that in a you know, 24/7 lifestyle relationship, that it's, you know, my viewpoint is that if you're in that 24/7 lifestyle relationship, then just by knowing that you have a particular amount of trust with your owner, then that you basically have just given away all consent. Not given away, but in other words, you trust that things will always be safe, and so there's no real need for a verbal sort of consent because you're in that relationship and you should know each other so well. I mean, do you agree with that sort of aspect?
Conceptually, but the truth of the matter is you're constantly giving consent on one way or another. Hey, you know what? Tonight I'd like to go to the dungeon. And you're saying, oh, that would be lovely. That's your consent. And, you know, tonight, for example, you know, I know stories that you've told me where, because I know the love dispenser. I know stories that you've told me where, you know, your mistress would be like, go get me the brush. You know, and you're like, what did I do? And, you know, she just wanted to spank you. And it's like, okay, that's fine. You can spank me. And although your consent was not specifically required because you had that overarching DS relationship, you did, in fact, give your consent. You could have, at that moment, said, you know, mercy, mistress. You could have safe worded her. You know, that while
I never had such words.
Well, no, but I mean, you know what I'm saying. I mean, conceptually, yeah. Or you could have said, you know, whatever words you come up with for when you can respectfully decline something from your owner. But it's one of those things where at every step, you know, there is a certain amount of consent. Now, I understand that it's when you're in that kind of situation, like that one specifically, go get the brush. You know, I can imagine a submissive not feeling like they have a lot of power. It's not an option. It's like dad telling them to go pick a switch from a tree. You're going to get swatted. You know, you have no choice. But the truth is, you do. You can say, you know, you can safe word it, or you can respectfully decline it in whatever, you know, aspect of your relationship is. You can decide to not take it any longer. Or, you know, if your relationship is that it is, then you'd be more than happy to accept that spanking because that's what she wants. Does that make sense?
That's fair enough.
That's just my opinion.
I unfortunately tuned in late. I'll be downloading the podcast later, but
as you always, will.
You both are doing an amazing job.
Thank you. I love you.
Love you too.
I like you too.
I like you too, Nancy.
Oh.
We'll all talk soon.
All right. Bye.
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 It's a big deal for me to like love dispenser.
I get it. He's a boy.
Boy, but I like him.
I know.
He doesn't give me a creepy vibe. I don't want to see his penis, but he doesn't give me a creepy vibe.
His penis is not bad to look at, as far as penises go.
Okay. I'll take your word for it, because I don't want to look at it. He's really awesome with, like, tools and shit. I mean, I'll give him that.
There's that. But, yeah, I think that it is true that consent is often perceived to be a power card for the submissives. And, you know, whether it is or it isn't, I don't know, but it really is generally. Here's the challenge, and this is one of the interesting things is, like I said, if the person is coming up with the concept, they've automatically consented to it because they're bringing up the concept.
Right.
And so then it puts the person that they've put it on as the person who then has to grant the consent. That being said, there's an incredible challenge. If a submissive wants to bring something up, how are they not topping from the bottom?
Yeah, right, exactly what I was thinking. Because I know I sure as fuck wouldn't do that. I really wouldn't. I would probably, I mean, from time to time, like, I'll send you text messages and say, wouldn't it be really awesome? Yeah. I don't want to do this. Blah, 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 blah. But I don't think I could. Well, I don't see myself very directly asking, mistress, can we please do this?
Right.
Because because in the past
I need this.
Yes, exactly. There's the I need this, I need that, when really it wasn't needs.
Yeah, you had some disappointing responses to that.
Yeah. So
no, you don't. You want it.
No, penis.
Is there a penis behind me?
There was something that looked like a penis that Jeremy was showing me.
Were you
not
for penis?
Not his penis, But it looked, see, look, and he was making a dance.
That looks nothing like a penis.
He was making a dance, and it looked. Like,
that's a fucking gangrene penis, if that's a penis. And it's the smallest fucking penis I've ever seen with gang goddamn green.
Oh, dear.
Where did you get penis from that?
Because he was making a dance.
It could have been a fucking jalapeno.
I don't know.
It looks more like a fuzzy jalapeno than a penis. What kind of penises are you seeing in your life?
A fucking huge jalapeno.
No, it isn't. It's not a huge jalapeno.
It. Never mind.
No, man. I mean, it's a huge jalapeno, but it's not a huge jalapeno.
Exactly what I was going.
I would expect no less of a jalapeno from Jeremy.
This is true. Make note, people.
Wow.
Anyways.
Seriously, sometimes I think there just needs to be a camera. Some of the fucking shit that goes on.
Oh, man. Yeah, and even then when I was sending you those text messages, I need this, I need that. And you guys, like, seriously, I was really convinced that I needed these things.
She was a little crazy.
I was a little crazy. I was. Yes.
We're working through the crazy.
We're working through the crazy. Yes, we totally are. But I was really convinced that I needed these things. And that's probably going to be the farthest that I ever get to trying to inception ideas or, you know, suggest us doing things. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Because I don't know. Man, I feel like I am so disconnected from other subs that are in a DS relationship. But I feel like, at least for me, I feel like you know me well enough. Our dynamic is in such a way that I don't feel like I need to specifically say, hey, these are the things that I would like, because you know me. You know what I like. You know what I don't like. And with the things that you're kind of fuzzy about, you tread very lightly. You kind of test the waters.
I try.
Yeah.
What do you mean you don't feel connected to other subs?
I mean, like, I don't feel like sometimes.
By the way, this is a sidebar, people. I'm just curious.
Yeah.
Pull the couch. Let me take some notes.
This is so weird. I think, well, so there's the Twitter where, you know, we connect with a lot of people who are not local.
That is true.
And who are in DS relationships and have similar dynamics, but they're not local.
Okay.
So I can only connect with them online. People that we know locally, I don't feel like, I don't feel as familiar with them I don't even know how to say what I'm thinking. This is a problem with saying things to your dominant space, because like you get really nervous because
I'm gonna look away so you don't have to see me.
Uh-huh. It's not the same because you're still right there.
I'm not right here.
But I guess, you know, it would be nice for to know other people, to be friends with other people who are in a DS dynamic that's not too different from ours, where I just feel like I can do, you know, that I can have Lucy and Ethel moments, you know, where it's just us subs and like, oh my God, can you believe that my D-type did this? How do I deal with this? What do I do?
Yeah, I mean, I'd love if there was like a submissive roundtable or a submissive specific group in this local area for you to find that connection. Because there's been then times when we have had issues and you felt you had no place to go, no one to talk to. And I suggested people for you to speak to about whatever's going on.
Which is, you know, I mean, which is great, but those people are all your friends.
No, but they still won't tell me. They, you know, unless you're doing something seriously wrong, they're not going to tell me. They, you know, they have that submissive respect thing.
Yeah.
Except for they usually tell me, oh, she's so cute, I'm going to steal her. Don't you fucking dare.
I know who you're talking about, too.
Take you fucking out back and spank your ass. Oh, I might do that anyway. With her sir's permission.
So, yeah. Are we done with the sidebar, or did you want to know more?
No. That's cool. That's cool. I do, you know, as we're running not quite out of time, but we're getting there. There is a point that I think is confusing to some people, especially outside of the heavy edge play world of BDSM, and that's consensual non-consent.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And a lot of people don't understand, what the fuck does that mean? And now we're talking about types of play that a lot of people don't like, have questions on, et cetera, et cetera. Rape play, you know, kidnap play, these kinds of things that require an element of surprise, that require an element of force. But the negotiations have to be really thorough, done well enough in advance so that whenever the event happens, it is, in fact, it does hit all of those adrenaline buttons that you're hitting with, you know, rape play and kidnapping and those types of things. But it has to, the consent must be given for these non-consensual moments. The consent must be given that, okay, I consent to rape play with these hard limits, these parameters, this specific, it has to be very specifically negotiated. And from a TOPS perspective, you have to be and for me, it's very challenging. You have to be really, really cognizant and really aware of those boundaries, of not breaking, of that not being the moment where you decide that that's not really a hard limit, they just don't know it.
Yeah.
That's not the time to do it. Because they're very vulnerable. There is a lot of adrenaline on both sides in these types of experiences, and it's incredibly important to try and maintain some kind of sanity, because there's rape fantasies on both sides. There's the fantasy of being raped. There's the fantasy of raping. There's kidnap fantasies on both sides. You know, this is not exclusive to the bottom or the submissive that wants to have it done. Trust me, there's people that are like, yes, I want to do that to somebody. You know, kidnap them and tie them to a tree and rape them. You know, hey, it can be a combined. It's a twofer party there. Threefer if you're adding tying up. Fourfer if you want sex and nature. See what I'm saying? So, but you see, like, that example right there alone shows how easy it is to literally spiral out of control from any given pre-negotiated ideas, which is why, you know, you can be as specific as you want, but you also have to have really broad areas. You know, try and where are these absolute hard no's? No anal anything. You know, no marks, you know, whatever they may or may not be. No taking me when I'm supposed to go to a meeting, you know? You know what I'm saying? These are the important things in my life. Because the greater the limitations, the harder it is to have the rush of the experience. The greater you have to have that balance. And I know for me, from a top, you have to keep yourself in check constantly for, wow, am I getting into this headspace so far that I won't know when to stop? And that can happen, you know. So it's really important that the bottom be aware that this is as much of, you know, as far as the bottom goes into this fear, and there's a lot of, it's scary and you're terrified and oh my God. And, but there's still that trust component, from the top's perspective. You have to trust yourself, and you can go a little crazy in that moment.
Yes. I think that's a wonderful segue into this awesome new acronym that we learned about today.
Yes.
Prick.
Prick.
Yeah. You heard it right. Prick.
Personal responsibility, informed consent. Kink.
So, you know, and in talking about the rape play, it just, you know, from the bottom's perspective, you know, if you know yourself well enough and you know what buttons are may be pushed and you don't know quite yet where you're at emotionally, then it's your responsibility to speak up about that. Even if there's like that doubt in the back of your mind, really, really, you're going to wait until you're like super massively upset to speak up then?
Right, because that's not going to work out so well.
I mean, it does happen. It happens. It happens. I mean, like, remember that one time that I was like really, really, really upset?
Yeah.
Because there was some buttons that were pushed.
Oh, yeah.
That happened. But, you know, there was no way for me to see that coming.
Yeah.
Whereas, true. You know, with rape, you know,
And I did not know that that was a particular hard limit.
Right.
You did not know it was a particular hard limit. Until you cross that threshold.
Yes. So with rape play, if there's that nagging thought in the back of your mind that tells you, you know what, maybe I'm not ready for this, or maybe we still need to discuss this.
Yeah.
You know, it could be a long-term discussion. It's, you know, it's not something where you see your D-type that is like so excited to fucking ravage you and just, you know, tie you to a tree and like, look at your face lighting up like that.
So exciting.
See, and it's so hard for me to say no because you're so excited. But again, pointing at myself, personal responsibility.
Yep. Yeah. Which pointing at myself for personal responsibility in the PRIC acronym, which I love, is that the interesting thing about this, especially when you're within the confines of a DS relationship, even not of this, you know, consensual non-consent, you don't have to start off with an Olympic scene.
Right.
You know, you can start off with, you know, kind of a baby scene and see, you know, how to, you know, this is kind of the general, what do you feel about this? And, you know, in the scene, I can change it up and force you to do this and whatever. And then see how they feel, how they respond in that. And if it's a little bit exciting, they're like, yeah, I would have liked more of that. Okay. Then you know that okay, that was a baby step. Let's try another one. We don't, you know, you don't have to start off with something super duper elaborate.
Right.
You don't have to, you know, get two goons to smack a girl in the face and tie her up and duct tape her mouth and throw her in the trunk to bring her to you in the forest, you know, right off the bat. You don't have to start that way. No. You don't have to start that way. You can wait.
That's a fucking orchestra. Right there.
Right. But I mean, but that's the point, is maybe you want to start with seeing how you feel being tied up in the trunk. Let's start with that.
Yeah.
How does that feel? How do you like that? And just before that, why don't you make sure that they've cleaned out your trunk first?
Yeah.
So if you ever clean out my trunk, you got to have an idea. There might be something coming.
Oh. Well, okay.
Just saying. but yeah, I mean, it's okay to be cautious when you're giving consent, even in, you know, consensual non-consent, because there's one thing to be aroused by a concept. There's something entirely different about experiencing the concept, because I've been aroused by concepts, and then I experienced it, and I was like, wow, that sucked. It was awful on whatever it was. And it's almost entirely on some sort of an emotional level. It's almost entirely on that. So it's one of those things where it's okay, you know, to tip your toe in. You're not a pussy. You know, you haven't somehow lost, you know, cred. you know, it's being smart. It's, you have to look out for your own welfare, and your partner should be looking out for your own welfare as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what I have to say about that.
Yeah.
About consensual non-consent and about PRIC, which, in case you missed that, is personal responsibility, informed consent, kink.
Yeah.
PRIC. I like it. Which, of course, everybody has heard RAC, which is risk-aware consensual kink. Everybody heard is safe, sane, consensual. You know, those are acronyms that have been around for a while, but I like the PRIC.
Yeah.
I like the PRIC a lot.
Yeah. It adds that that element of being self-aware. I like that, too.
Oh, I was thinking it added the element of cock.
Now I never want to use that acronym ever again. Thanks.
Prick, 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 prick.
No. No pricks. There's no pricks here.
There's no pricks here.
Except for the microphone, which now is looking at me.
It's not a, this cannot even qualify remotely as a prick. This is a thing, a cock of beauty.
Shut your face.
It's a powerhouse of cock is what it is.
And of course, they're, yeah. No. No.
Right? Right? Right. I'm getting agreement from the booth. I know, right?
No.
Powerhouse of cock. Right at your mouth, right at your lips is the powerhouse of cock.
Only at Skid Row Studios. Is what that is.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty true.
Goodness.
That's pretty true. So by the way, the ethical BDSM play is a quote from Sainine's blog. He's written, because I've done it speaking like that. He's written a couple blog posts about consent, one on informed consent and one on the difference between consent and rape.
Yeah.
And rape play. But yeah, so there was, he's a gifted writer.
He knows some stuff. He knows some stuff.
What?
Yeah.
No.
He's really awesome.
He's really awesome.
He's really, really awesome. I swear to God, every single time that he tweets about you and him doing the Titan clashing, I'm just like, I want to watch. And like, I'm totally like imagining myself like just holding Gypsy's hand. That's his sub. And just like watching so excitedly and like, oh my God, what's going to happen now? Oh my God, what's going to happen now? It's like the entire building going to come crashing down because they're like doing it so hard and they're like throwing each other up against the wall. And like, oh my God, my mind is going to explode.
Wow.
So yeah, expectations up here.
Like fucking WWE and shit.
Yes! Oh my God, yes. You guys don't understand. Anyways. What?
Nothing. You were just really excited. You're flushed everywhere. Not just your face, but your boobs too.
Stop
you're
it.
Flushed.
Well, thank you for listening.
Thank you. Let's talk about pimpage.
Oh, we are. What are we pimp? Oh, that's right, Brad. Yes.
Really? You do this every single show. Every show. And look, we even have time that we've stayed to cover pimpage and you fucked it up.
I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. So please like our Facebook page. That's The Love Bite.
Real briefly on that, we're considering doing things that require us to incorporate the social media aspect a little bit more, such as posting pictures and things like that. So that's when the liking of the Facebook page is really going to help you. I get that your Facebook is vanilla, but you know, it's The Love Bite. Love Bite. How bad can that be?
Right. And really, how many times do people go on your profile to see what you've liked? I mean, seriously.
Other than stalkers, yeah.
Right.
Or ex-boyfriends from high school.
Yes.
And girlfriends.
And really, you guys can delete it from like your timeline so that nobody sees it anyway. So, yeah.
Or never show Love Bite or whatever.
Exactly. But anyways, so like our Facebook page because now you don't have a reason not to. And if you are listening to us for the very first time or you haven't listened to previous episodes, we are on iTunes. Again, search The Love Bite. And of course, those are free. And we're on Twitter a lot of the time. I'm Novice Nancy.
Novice_Nancy.
That's right.
And I'm a Smiteful Sinner, one word.
Yeah. And there's of course Stitcher, which is an app that you can download onto your phone, and you can like create like favorite stations, so that way anytime that you go, it just automatically has the latest episode on there. Additionally, Skid Row has its very own app that you can also download, and it's awesome.
Only for iPhones.
So. Yeah, well, you know, because, yeah, you should have an iPhone.
Right. I'm sorry, weren't we discussing today about how you are aware that actually the iPhone 4S was a downgrade from my Droid 4G? And you don't even use Siri because you turn the bitch off because she keeps draining your battery. And, oh, you can't have an extra battery walking around with you to add into it if you're using it all day long. Remember that conversation we just had earlier today?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Let's move on.
But it doesn't mean that you shouldn't download the Skid Row app
if you have an iPhone, totally.
Yeah, you should totally do that. And that's all the pimpage I got.
That's all the pimpage you got.
I do.
It's good pimpage.
Yeah, I got a pee-pee now.
I don't want that information, let's be honest. Yeah, so we'll be back next week.
Yes.
I don't have any effing idea what we're going to talk about, but we'll be back. Do you know what we're going to talk about?
No, but I'm pretty sure it'll be awesome and hope to God that it won't involve penises because that would be rather unfortunate.
Why can't we talk about penises?
Because!
I think next week is going to be penis talk.
Shut your face, no.
I think
penis.
We should bring in a penis demo bottom to just have penises around.
Oh my God, imagine if we did demos here.
Oh, Jeremy's like, what?
You should do a demo here.
We should do a demo here! Oh, what? I don't care. Look, I want to do a demo.
I don't know what that means. But.
Oh, where? A demonstration of one of our kinky type things.
Yeah, you should do that. That'd
like
be cool.
This idea. Hey, man. What's up?
Do you need any special supplies? Like, do I have to move the tables or?
That's enough space over
nah,
there.
We're good. I can even crack a whip over there if I need it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be cool, like Indiana Jones style.
Yeah, like Indiana Jones style, except they're not like 12-foot bull whips. They're, you know, they're 4-foot reasonable whips for like actual practical use.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to tell you girls that you're doing a great job. And
thank
you so much for being a part of the Skid Row family.
Dude, we love it here.
Yes.
We even don't hate the Matt Time Radio people.
Wow.
I mean, that is like saying something. We don't hate them. We see them in the elevators often, and they seem like cool people.
They are very nice people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very nice people.
They're good guys.
Yeah. This is so nice. Jeremy's sitting here with us.
I know.
It feels so special.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
And we feel this is the CEO of Skid Row Studios that's here with us.
The guy that was making the jalapeno dance.
That's right.
Right.
Which I apparently is nothing like his penis unless he has a gangrene penis.
I didn't say that was his penis. I was just saying it was a penis.
I don't even know how you went to penis.
Jalapeno, Christmas tree, whatever. It just was, that's what it was.
Which is not a penis.
Okay, anyway, sorry.
Sorry. Back to you, Jeremy.
So just real quick, I wanted to say that for Android people, we do got you covered, and we got a Stitcher app. And
yes, there actually is a Stitcher app. I do. I have.
And Love Bite is on Stitcher, so there's another place you can listen to the Love Bite.
That's right.
This is very true.
Get your little kinky feed. You know, get your kinky fill. You can listen to it at work. I know lots of people that actually do. They put their headphones on and listen to it at work. especially like the IT people. They're like people laughing. Like, what are you laughing at? Never mind. Because they can't really tell people what they're laughing at. But yeah, so you can totally do that. And it's awesome. It's awesome.
Cool. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right.
The big man talked to us.
It is. It's really, really cool.
The big man. It's exciting.
He likes us.
He likes us.
Yay, validation.
I know, right? Right? Right. Is it the coffee or is it the validation? I'm not sure, but I feel really good.
Well, then. Well, I have had a fantastic evening.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. We will be back next week talking about who knows what the fuck.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, I hope you guys are doing it hard and consensually.
But mostly hard.
Yes.
Bye.
Good night.